You all got to witness us. It was a great day, and it was also a day we needed to hold the fault for you. We made the front page of the paper. You see, the difference, you won't hear this. The difference in us and you is that you cannot shroud yourselves. You're either there or you're not, or you absorb light or you reflect it. You cannot master cloud formation. And you cannot master dispersion enough for a plane to go through that cloud. It's hardball time. I say I hold because I'm glad to see my brothers here. They come, and they always bring greetings from Little Crow. Things didn't work out quite quickly enough. Wally Gentleman had some problems, health-wise, actually mechanical, with his body that needed attention. So because no ability had been to structure a formal meeting with either Christopher or Robin, he decided to return to Canada and will come here again as rapidly as is necessary. We have so much on our plate that ones are not getting any rest. We'll probably have some dropping off as we speak. I just hope that my speaker doesn't go so soundly asleep that we can't get her back, you know, for the cake. It's Jean Dixon's birthday, but I dedicate the day to Karen, Valerie, and Paul because they live with Jean. And maybe before we even get started, I want to share with Jean. Jean is the Rambo of gum openers. So I want you to open this while we're all here. Would someone hand this back? I just want you to share it. I want Jean to know that this kind of infection that he will be reading about is the only acceptable one for him.
Do they know how I got the name of the reputation of being a Rambo of gum openers?
I don't know. Maybe you'd like to. Well, I'll share that. I'm really a little ticked off at the gum holder. Mr. Tips is one of the most meticulous, dainty, organized. I mean, you don't get a paper clip out of order on his desk or it's death. And they're down working on this project. And I believe that he made the error of probably leaving the gum on top of his desk. Or he may have even offered.
Yeah, he offered me a package of gum.
And so Gene opened it. He really opened it. And Tips about has a fall out of his chair, and he whizzes around and he says, "Who are you anyway, the Rambo of gum openers?" Only he meant it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gene had destroyed his entire package of gum.
Scott Tips was actually on the telephone talking to somebody, and I opened a gum package like you open a gum package and threw the little thing on top away and proceeded to take a stick of gum, and I heard this scream. He drops the telephone. He says, "What are you doing?" He says, "You're the Rambo of gum package openers. You don't open gum packages like that." You have to know Scott Tips to appreciate that. Okay, let me see if I can read this. I didn't bring my glasses here with me. He says, "Happy birthday, Gene. We have, we love, you better read that, Paul. I can't quite read it." This is my 68th birthday, guys.
Paul doesn't have his glasses either.
Oh, I don't need glasses for this. I need it for the farce. I can't see you without my glasses. We love you and most certainly appreciate you. We're working hard on adoration and respect, as in getting some. Doris and EJ.
Well, actually, we want Gene to remember us all. So if someone hasn't done that, maybe you'd like to pass it around, because we wanted Gene to open the other one.
Well, speaking of getting some, this sort of fits into the present I got this morning from the ladies I live with.
Oh, really? Let's hear about it.
They bought me one of these half Tioga things. It's after you come out of the shower, you put on this half a thing, and it's made out of terry cloth. Has anybody seen those things? It's just the bottom half. And they wanted me to put it on right then. I said, no. I said, I'll wait till I take a shower and put it on. They said, well, make you sure that you wear it out here. We want to make sure that it's long enough. I'm getting worried about those two ladies I live with. Okie dokie. What do we have here?
Just come on, Rambo.
Love bugs.
We know that's suitable for you. And it will occupy your time.
Right. I'll get my jackknife out. Make sure I get the right blade to this thing. Here we go. I guess that's the right blade.
I believe it was a child's book.
Love bugs. That's beautiful. Well,
Gene Dixon is speechless.
No, I'm not speechless. I was thinking as I opened this, what was this said in the card about loving me and appreciating me, and I'm remembering going back many, many months when all of you good people here put all your confidences in me, and I was standing before you and asking you to continue to place your confidence in me, that we were going to be winning all the cases, and you had no reason to rely upon me at all, but you put your faith and confidence in me, and I have learned to love and appreciate you persons, and I have put every ounce of energy that I can. And matter of fact, in one situation in Nevada when our attorneys were doing so badly, my blood pressure, which is always 120 over 80, went up to 165 over 110, and it just got about down to normal, which is like in the last few weeks. That is how frustrating it has been for me to work with some attorneys on some of these cases, when we are so obviously in the right, the attorneys are so obviously in the wrong on the other side. There is nothing that persons like George Abbott and Dave Horton won't stoop to try and defeat you in the courtroom. They violate every moral fiber, every bit of integrity, every bit of ethics that attorneys are supposed to have. They are a total embarrassment to the judicial system. We have brought their conduct to the attention of the state bar, and all the state bar tells us is, well, wait until they finish. We have been complimented by the courts many times in our pleadings. We have never had a court say anything badly about any of our pleadings. They always go to point out the pleadings filed by the Phoenix Institute are proper and correct. The other side must amend and correct their pleadings. And now we've just assisted Dave Overton in winning a major, major case. And in addition, the Supreme Court of Nevada did something very, very unusual in their ruling. They pointed out that George Green had stolen the gold coins, had buried them in his backyard, and that his conduct was so bad that he could never compare his conduct with our conduct, and the gold coins should go to Mr. Overton, which is what we've wanted for the last 2 years. We prevailed. And within the next 4 to 5 or 6 weeks, we're going to prevail in another 2 or 3 cases, and I assure you that by the end of the year, Mr. Abbott, and probably Mr. Horton too, will be disbarred by the State Bar of Nevada, and hopefully we can bring the State Bar of Nevada before the Nevada grand jury for their failure to control these out-of-control attorneys. So we're on a roll, and we're going to keep up on that roll, and I just ask you to continue your trust and confidence in me.
We do.
Thank you.
Well, I don't want to be casual about it. We're not only extremely grateful, but we do feel it very worthy of supporting you in any way that we can. And we realize that as the serpent from the sea comes to try to make the kill, there won't be a lot of sleep possibly for some of you, because you must stay alert and on watch. And while you're not, I am. Several things have happened since we last met, and I believe if they had not happened, and Gene had not had a birthday, we certainly would not have met today, because we need some rest. A lot of things are happening. On the other hand, you once share with us through every step of this way. You once have trusted in some guidance and in my petition for your corporate structuring, and that will become very important within the next little while. I would like for Paul to express, and I don't mean colored up, what has happened with Ann and Leon. While they are telling us they are working with us, you see a lot of other things with Green and Horton and Abbott are going on while they struggle and struggle and struggle to hold open a case that is shut and dried and actually closed. The man is originating his own documents, is foolish enough to ask for a case to remain open on the basis of ridiculous affidavits from ones who are not even involved. And while they're doing one thing on one side, Father Cleary and Rod Ince are giving one's advice on the other side and are literally volunteering to do some actions, which I'm going to tell you here, has Betty Tootens across the cross. And when you do this to someone else, you can count on it. I will see to it that it circles right back around to the foot of your own cross. On the second or the fourth, I believe, affidavits were filed. And I would like for Paul to make a statement about this because it was a slap across his face.
I spent the morning partly composing the letter to Leon and Ann. I won't go into the whole letter, but what happened when we got the affidavits that were attached to a move pleading to put the Institute into receivership again just based on these affidavits was that in all the negotiation that Gene and I had with Leon and Ann, I felt betrayed by what I thought was their confidence in us and our goodwill and intent to assure them that the Institute had their best interest at heart. That all along with this, the person who has been causing them the most harm has been their actual attorney, who never advised them in the first place that he wasn't necessary to be retained by them because the charge that he thought was being put against him, that is Leon, was not a criminal conspiracy but was a civil conspiracy and was not something he had to defend himself against. Certainly didn't need the use of a lawyer who was going to take all of his money and money that we entered into to try to make a settlement with him so that he and his corporation and his mother could have what they were looking for. In our negotiations, Gene and I were clear that their interests were best in our heart, and we were trying to find a way to do that without having any attorneys involved. And before we had the meeting with him, they checked with their attorney, who gave his approval for the meeting. In these affidavits, they have turned around and basically disregarded everything I thought we had an understanding on. And my first reaction, of course, was to feel, well, not necessarily of course, but I did. I felt betrayed by the innuendos that were put there. It wasn't that either Gene and I were named, but of course it was obvious who they were talking about. They said representatives of the Institute had come to talk to them in order to initiate a settlement. It became clear to me that they were using the affidavits knowingly with Mr. Abbott in an attempt again to bring down the Institute. After they had clearly said to us that they were not interested in any movement that would put the Institute into receivership, nor were they interested in any kind of conversation or dialogue with anybody who would in any way be interested in hurting the Institute or hurting other people. Those were the words that they gave to us. And the thing that I felt most betrayed about was the claim to total open honesty, the behavior of which I think is in the total opposite direction of open honesty. Anyway, that's my personal feeling, and all I'll say for now.
Thank you. I don't want Dorma exposed yet to some of the things going on. So we're going to be a little bit limited. I understand, however, that our friend Betty has now approached the Millers with a whole package of things. I don't know what that contains. They're treading very, very dangerously on thin ice. And one may well think that I'm insensitive, and certainly I do not have unconditional love. I never had unconditional love. I never shall. The conditions of my love rest on truth, honesty, integrity, fairness, justice. And so far, we have not received very much of that in return. Although the loudest spouters are the ones who proclaim to bear that, and that God should bear it. I serve God. I don't play God. I serve God, the highest cause in this universe. And you people are on the brink of Kevorkian's last push. You're the one out there in front of Kevorkian with the no-frills flight plan on the cliff edge. And if you don't know what's going on, I'm going to tell you what's going on. Because it is not going to happen. Evil is through. I'm telling you now, evil is through eating us alive. Now you ones are going to have to buck up your backbone and see to it that things take place. But I believe that your cause is worthy enough of doing that. It's hard for these people and their old friends. They were business people. They were well respected. They were well respected in this community for 10 years before we ever started doing anything here. And it's painful when these lies come out in the Associated Press directly from Horton and Abbott. It's hard to be called evil and serving of the dark forces. But words will not hurt you. They bring you a little pain. Get over it, and get over it fast. In other words, you can cry through your next project. Just don't give it any attention. Just go ahead and drip. And yet, Gene expresses it very well. He went through the same sort of embarrassment of a large family. It's hard when your children, you know, someone comes and tosses a paper on your desk when you are an engineer in Los Angeles Water and Power Department. Is this your mother? They'll get theirs. Just let us take it one step at a time. Now, where are we with the property case? A new attorney, thousands of dollars a month, and the judge didn't even look at his probably $5,000 document. In less than 5 minutes, he said, you're compelled to produce the answers to those interrogatories. Now, what were those interrogatories? One of them was to produce all the bills of all of the attorneys up until now. You see, you're talking about amounts. Oh, well, we can't do that. Oh, why can't we do that? We got them all. Well, we have to go through and check to make sure that everything is applicable. Oh, why would we do that? You want to know why we would do that? Because it is now about $380,000 to attorneys, mostly Mr. Tips, and our new attorney who wins cases is appalled. He said the highest he's ever seen it go was $60,000. And they should have cleared this case out first day in court. So it turns out that Mr. Tipps is over here, and he wanted to redact. Redact. I'm sorry, Gene. It will never happen again. That means black out all the things that he wants to black out. While we pay them $275 an hour to do that little trick, to get called before the bench again. No way, Jose. You take those bills and you send them to Horn. So what do you think will happen? Oh, well, Mr. Horn's going to go through them with the microscope. And they're going to throw out three quarters of them as unnecessary billings. And that ain't going to look good for Mr. Tipps. I can promise you. The other part is that you're going to find that now Eckers are compelled by law and threat of contempt not to supply corporate information. But the laws of Nevada cover, and if they only acted as agent and it went through, Mr. Ely is sure that we can cover that quite safely, where Mr. Groves said, oh, well, we will have to tell. Because if you were directors, you had a right to know who owned. No, we didn't. Nobody told us. I work for General Electric, Westinghouse, and MCI. Nobody knows who owns it. Well, as a director, you have a right to know. Well, I didn't bother to look. It's also not a law to be a good business person and a little bit stupid. Mr. Green founded this corporation management stuff. Mr. Green founded the Institute, and you just heard what Mr. Green got called by the Supreme Court. And he's in worse shape with the federal bankruptcy court. He lied and got his attorney to lie on record. Well, he's the one been giving Mr. Horn advice. I love it. But guess what? The ones that they had something to do with, who probably came back and took away and took that unto themselves and shouts out there, that's my corporation, are going to be revealed in court wide open. That includes Mr. Fort, America West, publishers, distributors, Green. If you don't learn, if you do not learn, you are going to pay the penalty. Mr. Ince thinks he's going to just dump challenge met. I mean, after all, he has stood in this room and says, I don't own a corporation. Oh. I'm tired of people dinking around with God. We didn't set this up to make a bunch of money. We didn't set this up to make a big killing. We didn't set this up to satisfy a bunch of ego trippers, nor to pay off failures. And Mr. Green himself has told you his plans. Because these imbeciles can't even keep their own mouth shut. And I want to repeat, John is getting very impatient, Gene, if we could just do some kind of a paper for him. Because now, you see, it isn't going to be so simple. They have now got to answer to the California courts. Because when Mr. Horn gets this information, and it is by law to be supplied, because they're already gathering up all corporate records of ones that E.J. and Doris Ecker. Now, I don't know what that has to do with the sale either, you're all saying, and especially a no sale. But that has to do with ongoing retirement programs for lawyers. And I would say they've done it very well. And with all of this new information, they could do it for the rest of your natural lives. Because just look, One corporation. Oh, that means we've got to go and depose every person named. Oh, who gathered up these records? Kathy. Well, we'll have to depose Kathy. Do you see how it works, people? You've had a bad dose of it in about 14 directions, so you see how bad it is. But those flibbertigibbets that had to bring their lawsuits and try to put the Institute into receivership are going to be plastered over the front pages of the paper, and we won't be the ones to do it. And I'm sorry about that, but I will promise you, and this has been stated, restated, and it is meant, before anybody's name and privacy will be divulged who has not divulged it themselves, these people will go to prison first. Now that's how it will be. You are sheltered, and it is imperative you do things right, and they've done things right. And we are not responsible for ones who do things wrong, deliberately. And I felt that you had a right to know what's going on. We are not a cult here, as the paper says. We are nothing here. You are welcome to come and share with us. Period. I am going to get my mission done, and we're going to wade through this so that every one of you understands your security, your ability to prepare, to work together as good business operatives, and build community, not a commune. And before I move on, I have to address Mark and Kathy. It is a terrible idea for them to be seen in this town with any of my people. They can get away with coming over here if I'm not present. And since they are coming over here, I would ask that someone be responsible, please, for welcoming them. Have your cake or lunch or whatever you want to do, and I will get Dorma and EJ out of town. You have no idea what you're doing. I warn you and warn you and warn you that you are watched. They are watched. Everybody who touches you is watched. And I know you want to share, and I know you want to appreciate each other and give your appreciation. You have made all of the difference in their direction, all of it. You are responsible for what success Rodney Stitch has had. Over and over again, you as readers and participants with contact have done it. But to put us in the same room is earthquake is simple to what they can do. So if please someone would attend that, I would appreciate it. Now, is there anything that anybody would like to say before we move on? I really think that you would enjoy, possibly, and you can discuss this a little bit. I think you would enjoy seeing Mr. Horn on tape. Our journalist got him for a 15-minute interview. And then after he realized who they were, you would have thought he was going to die. And does anybody feel what I feel? Does anybody feel what I feel?
I don't feel any earthquakes right now.
Wrong. That doesn't mean that you felt it.
I have an announcement.
We would have an announcement.
Actually, we've just had 36.3 earthquake. It took 12 of them up in Ridgecrest. on this very day, since this morning, we've had 12 earthquakes totaling 36.3.
And you just had one.
That's another.
That was quite lengthy, or two, which was short. Under you.
I would read the magnitudes if you'd like.
We must be online.
They announced on CNN, like last Sunday night, that there was a 7-point earthquake over in Indonesia.
Yes.
That lasted for 4 minutes.
Yes.
I thought I'd get your attention.
It certainly did.
Is that right?
For the record, Patricia just tells us that there was a 7-point in Indonesia that lasted 4 full minutes, confirmed by the commander. The pattern of these earthquake amounts is very interesting. Let me read them to you. 5.2, 2.9, 2.5, 3.3, 2.5, 3.0, 2.9, 3.0, 2.9, 3.6, 3.7, and 3.3.
Total. I mean, we know that, like, from a 7 to an 8, it's a geometric progression. Now, when you add up a bunch of little ones, are you getting something similar to that?
No.
I believe Professor Young wants to make a comment on that.
I don't even have the data on today's quakes. I didn't hear what you said.
Well, you don't need the data to answer that question.
Well, ask me the question again, then, please.
These are smart pills.
What's the question?
Well, the question was, when the difference between a quake of 7 and a quake of 8 is like a, it's a geometric progression. And when you add a bunch of small quakes together, do you get something similar, or is it just a simple mathematical?
No, there's a factor of 10 difference in the in the shaking magnitude between a 7 and any of those numbers. They're powers of 10, Wally. So what you're talking about is 10 to the 7th, 10 to the 8th, 10 to the 9th power. That's what those 7, they're logarithmic numbers. And that means that each one's a factor of 10 larger than the one previous. But there are two ways when you say a factor of 10. Are we talking about the intensity or the power release? The power release is actually 3 times each of those. It's 30 times. But the intensity, the shaking that you would feel, is 10 times greater between a 7 and a 6, or an 8 and a 7. Now, when you have a 3 or a 4 or a 5, you can't add them. Okay, you can talk about the total power dissipated, meaning you could take one and then the next one and the next one and say that so much total power was dissipated over a period of a week or 2 weeks or whatever. But you can't add them in the sense that suppose you have a quake, 2 or 3 little quakes, and you think that that's going to relieve stress. What if it's a pre-shock, like Commander was talking about last week? In other words, the beginning cracking, like a branch is starting to crack and crack, and then it's going to break big. Okay, so you can't assume that it's release of pressure. You can only assume that it's either release of pressure or the portent, a signal of a bigger event that's trying to release. So I don't know if that answers your question or not.
Well, I could add a little bit to that. I believe when we're speaking exponentially of something and compounding something, you're going to find that these little ones all clustered in the same area work as fatigue type of phenomenon. If you had a wire and you continue to bend it and bend it and bend it and bend it, finally it will fatigue and the molecules will release and it will break. It will literally come apart, which isn't exactly the same thing as discussing a twig that finally just gives. It's already cracked and it's going to split further along that crack. Or a brittle stick that just snaps. So you are having a major amount of settling going on or liquefaction taking place around these what do you call it when you're doing an underground city and things, the underground wires? That's infrastructure, right?
Yes.
Well, when you are talking about the infrastructure of these underground facilities, and they are also doing a lot of testing in those underground facilities, they are doing stress tests. You see, they're trying also to build up to see how much can be contained without literally fatiguing or destroying their underground security systems. And this mess up in around Oakland is just... There really isn't anything more to say about it. It is such a tenuous situation. And yet, you can see it coming. It isn't just nasty weather back east or good weather out here, no rain out here where you need it, a lot of misplaced everything. But you can see it happening. And in Camden, New Jersey this day, they brought in state troopers to help the police. They didn't even wait until crisis and riot. They brought in state troopers, which are by the populations, the people of the city, the citizens of the city, being called martial law. You also have now the capability of UN soldiers shooting you without recourse. You're in serious trouble. And while we dink around with the stupidity of our, quote, friends or enemies or whatever they are, the world's going into collapse. And this is just a sign. This is just a local, petty sign of the whole of it. It's not going to be easy. It will be a challenge. But it is a challenge that should by now, if you could just get a little sleep and a little rest, begin to be an intriguing challenge. You would think with so many working against you that you wouldn't be able to counter in any way. Wrong. They do stupid things. And the less stupid things we do, and the less attention we give to how it affects each of us as individuals and keep our eye focused on the whole, a brotherhood, and what will happen if they put the institute into receivership, for instance. I think you can appreciate the problems that have to be confronted by the ones who at the least feel responsibility for these things. These two up here shouldn't feel any more responsibility than should any one of you. And Gene is not sleeping, wearing his body out, trying very, very hard to keep on top of this, as, my goodness, one attorney 2 days later has 15 cases. I mean, come on. This is hard. And each one feeling so responsible to catch everything and then balance it with me because I can nudge here and there. But we mustn't get so fatigued that we're unable to function. And when we get sidetracked onto ourselves, that's when games are lost. Never mind yourself. Never mind what you look like to the public. If it is a lie, it does not matter. And EJ had a very good thing to say to Dharma when she said, but all our friends will see that. And he said, which friends are those? All those who won't even read the paper, won't even speak to us because we're so nuts? What friends are you talking about, dear? Well, since you didn't have an answer, just cry, you know, like a female would. Blubber, blubber, well, it just hurts my feelings. And you're just going to have to listen while I have a glass of wine and cry. And it's okay. Release the tension and then get your nose back to the books. Well, with her, it's the computer because I don't stop thinking. And when there are critical things, I don't let anybody else stop thinking either. We're going to do things and we're going to do them in wise sequence. And we're through losing. and you can spread the word out there to all those schemers. We are through losing. So, do you want to see Mr. Horn, and would you like to see Randy and Marissa for a few minutes? Some of you won't remember because you will have been new, but we had Randy and Marissa DeWeese here, and they had a beautiful family, and they went back over to the South Seas, and she had a baby there, and Wally keeps in touch and has brought a few minutes of tape, and then we can do anything you want to do. From talking about
what happened on Wednesday, the three, that display out there, what was that all about?
Oh, that was us.
I know, but I mean, is there any little secret we can find out about?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I wanted all of you to see that because other things were coming down at the same time, and I wanted you to be able to remember that. Number two, we have been shoring up that fault line. You will find as you go over toward Mojave that you will pass through what we call the bubble. And I don't want you to call it a dome shield because it is literally a bubble that completely encircles you. Then a very short distance, and I'm not going to try to be profound and say 32 feet or